Hey, good evening, everybody. This is Mordechai Plotker. Thank you all for joining us. Tonight's share is dedicated to Lilo Nishmas, my grandfather, whose name is the same as mine, Mordechai ben Menachem Mendel. It's Neshama Shehav and Aliyah. And his yard site is Monday night. So I figured that tonight's an apropos time. Those chukas haTorah, we begin with the discussion of chukim. In Mishpatim, there are things that we are led to understand, and there are things that we're unable to understand. And so when we think about this, we think about Parshat Bechukosai, and Bechukosai Telechu, that's in Sosai Teshmoru, V'asisim Osam. So the famous question that's asked is, in Bechukosai, what does that mean? That if you find yourself in a situation where you're unable to understand why things are happening to you or surrounding you, and look no further than the Parsha itself. This week's parsha that we just read has records the death of Aaron and Miriam, and you would ask yourself, "Well, that's a lot to swallow in one parsha." And we can ask many questions as to why things are concentrated the way they are, and why things happen the way they do, and we really don't understand. And yet, we find that the preparations that Aaron HaKohen undertook with Moshe Rabbeinu, bringing himself up to the Har, and then taking off the begadim that he would wear as he went into Kachet Kachem, is a very touching and moving experience for Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe is asking, according to the Zohar Kaddish, what are you seeing? What are you able to understand at this point? And Aaron, as he took off one layer of clothing, was able to see into Gan Eden, and he did not want to return to earth. He wanted to proceed further. And it was very difficult for the two brothers to separate from one another, because we all know that unlike Sefer Bereishis, where we had division within the rank and file of the brothers, the division obviously led to Yosef going down to Mitzrayim. But that too was
a minute.
And that conflict led to Yosef going down to Mitzrayim. We all understand that Yosef, Hatzadik, turns to his brothers and says, you know, there's a reason why. Kinashani Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed me in this situation in order to make better, in order to improve our lot, your lot, my own brother's lot. So don't be worried that I'm going to take vengeance upon you. I surely will not. Although Chazal say that Yosef was faulted for not saying, I forgive you. Those three words would have done a whole great deal of good for the future. But irrespective of this notion, we still are turning to Aaron, who was the older brother. And when the Nevuah came to Moshe, he gave it over to his brother. Miriam was the oldest of the three, and she could ostensibly have also been a charismatic and leader as she was, you know, as she was Miriam. But she too was right behind her brother Aaron and saying, our youngest brother, usually it's the one who's the oldest, he should have the responsibilities. No, it turns to the youngest, and Moshe led. And that's when the Medrash Tanhuma describes Moshe Rabbeinu and the relationship he had with his brother, who was estranged, because Moshe Rabbeinu, as we all know, was living in Midian, and he had married Zipporah, and he wasn't really on the ground. Aaron was there. He was on the ground. He knew what was happening within the rank and file of all the Jewish people, and he understood the stresses and the difficulties that they faced, the challenges that they were able to overcome, and sometimes not overcome. As we say, that Vachamusha Malu, only 80% was left in Mitzrayim. Only 20% of our ancestors left Mitzrayim. So there was a lot of difficulty, and that, despite all that, Aaron said, no, if Hashem wants Moshe to lead, then I'm right behind my brother. And to this, the Medrash Tanhuma says that Hine Matu Umanayim Sheves Achim Gam Yochad, that what is more pleasurable and delightful? When we see brothers in unison. So Aaron and Moshe had this beautiful relationship, this kindred spirit. So there's Zos Chukas HaTorah. There's the challenge of a person leaving this world prematurely. Although, as they say, everyone leaves the world prematurely. Nobody leaves on time. And so that's chukas. We don't understand them. And what do we do when we experience telechu? We keep moving forward because that's what God demands of us. We have to continue to persevere. And as we persevere, we go from one level to another level, and we continue to build ourselves up. Explains the Berditch of a Rav, the Kedusha Slavi. This is the conflict that we have within our neshama and guf, whereas the neshama strives to be one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the guf says otherwise. And the guf says, I know better. And then the neshama says, no, I know better. And they're in constant conflict with one another. And that also is a chok, because that's just the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that it should be such. And yet, we say, that when these are mitzvot sechlias that we all understand, we follow those mitzvot. And then we have Vasisimosam. Why? What does that refer to? That refers to Chishav Lasis Mitzvah Vananas Malav Kasu Kiluasa, translated, someone who desires to do a mitzvah but is unable to because of circumstances beyond his or her control, gets credit for doing such. And there's no professor in college that will give credit for a student who tries to attend classes, who tries to do well in school but fails miserably on every test. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not like a Malach Basav Adam. I'm not like a regular king or a regular ruler. I will give credit because when you desire to do good, you will be credited with the good. Now, we turn ourselves over to other elements in the Parsha, and there's this tremendous yesod, perhaps, by the Mei Meriva. What was so difficult and challenging about the Mei Meriva that caused Moshe Rabbeinu to lose his ability to transform the people and bring them into the Eretz, Yerushas Aretz, right? Eretz Yisrael. Why was the punishment so severe? And the answer is there's more than a dozen answers. One of them is Shimuno Hamorim. One of them is, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, listen up, you rebels. Who was it that was pushing Moshe Rabbeinu to do this miracle by hitting the rock? It was none other than the Erev Rav. And the Erev Rav, obviously, is a negative influence. And that's according to the Rambam. But I wanted to actually focus on another explanation that really harkens back to the onset of our discussion in Sefer Bamidbar. Bamidbar could also be read Bamidaber, what comes out of our mouth. And oftentimes we think, what is the big deal if I say something or if I don't say something? If I say something this way versus another way, who cares? It's only speech. It's not like I fired a weapon or anything like that. But one's mouth could actually be construed to be a weapon. As we see that when Miriam spoke to Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu staying away from his wife, and she was chiding him to get remarried, because Moshe Rabbeinu was constantly on call. He was never home. She was stricken with tzaras. And despite the fact that she had tzaras, the camp of the Jewish people did not leave until Miriam joined together. They could have easily said, Miriam, you'll catch up with us. It's only 7 days' journey. No, she was stricken with tzaras. She had to be in isolation for 7 days. We discussed the prior week, who is it that determines the tzaras? It's the Kohen. Why is it the Kohen and not the doctor? The doctor is probably much more fluent. He could be a dermatologist and tell us what this is or what this isn't. It is the Kohen because he is an Ohev Shalom, Verodev Shalom. He loves peace. He pursues peace. He loves people. He loves to be engaged with people. And this is the person that has to make that awful determination that you can't join the camp because you have tzaras. You have to be excised from the camp. How painful it is for the Kohen to make that determination. It's probably more painful for the Kohen than it is for the recipient to make that determination. And that's the kind of person you want making that call, the Kohen, because he loves you and he cares about you and he's not going to leave you. And case in point, Miriam, who had tzaras, the whole camp of the Jewish people was not able to journey until she was able to rejoin the camp. There's a beautiful message and an undertone over here. But if we think about the fault line of Moshe Rabbeinu, and we ask ourselves, why was the punishment so strict? We can appreciate that if Moshe Rabbeinu is now hitting the rock in order to draw forth water by means of a miracle, then he's no longer practicing his greatest kohos any longer. He's actually demonstrating the kohos of his successor, Yehoshua. Yehoshua, as we know in Tanakh, was the one who was responsible for Kibush Eretz Yisrael, for conquering the land of Israel. And in order to conquer the land of Israel, it was not done through prayer. Prayer is great, and everyone needs to pray. And we talk about this all the time. It's an ability for all of us to draw closer to Hashem, to have that connection. And we all desire to have a connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam, much like we desire to have a connection with our parents when, Baruch Hashem, we're able to enjoy them. And for those that are no longer have their parents with us at this moment, that we cherish the memories that we were able to cultivate and enjoy with our parents, good times and bad. It's all good because these are your parents and you want to make that connection. And so Moshe Rabbeinu was the medaber. He was the speaker. He was the one who appealed every time the Jewish people got in trouble. He was the parent, so to speak, who stood up and said, please, God, this is a fledgling nation. They're my brothers, but they were slaves. They don't understand how to control themselves, how to behave, you know, in a proper way. Please forgive them. In other circumstances, they may have fallen to idolatry. They may have fallen into the depths of immorality. They may have succumbed to situations and circumstances that are really beneath them. But what can we say, God? They're just a young group of people. They're just forming a nation at this point. They're not yet there. So please don't judge them as adults. Judge them as children. And children make mistakes. And they shouldn't be judged harshly. And as a result, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to forgive. And even Moshe Rabbeinu stood on his laurels and said, if not, then find another representative. Because if I can't defend them, then there's no point and me standing here and davening and preaching to you. So Moshe was the one who always spoke with his mouth, and he was able to effect change. If Moshe now is using his fists or his hands in a physical way, then it's possible, or indeed very likely, that his ability to command and to control and to govern and to lead has left him. And this is the reason why the transition of Yehoshua now has to take place. And Moshe Rabbeinu was no longer able to go into Israel, because we know that Moshe Rabbeinu's greatest kohos was speech. And if now Moshe Rabbeinu is demonstrating the kohos of the future generation, that of Yehoshua, then it's time for Yehoshua to do kibush and Moshe Rabbeinu to step back. And so the Chazal tell us that Moshe is compared to the sun and Yehoshua to the moon. And just like the Jewish people, mechadesh ourselves, we renew ourselves every single month. That is the strength of Yehoshua, that is the strength of the Jewish people. That even when times look like they are, and in times of despair, as the night draws close, we know that the morning is yet to come. Tov lehodos Hashem, lezam l'shincha elyon, lehagid baboker chasdecha, namunascha balelos. As we translate this, we say it is great. Tov lehodos Hashem. We praise Hashem. When do we praise Hashem? When things lezam l'shincha elyon, and we sing on high. Lehagid baboker chasdecha. We sing of the praises during the daytime. When things go well for us, it is easy for one, especially during a time of chukas, during a time of strict judgment, when we have laws and ordinances that we're not able to fully understand, circumstances that may be beyond our understanding. And so despite all that, Lahagid Baboker Chasdecha, we do this when we can understand. However, there are times when we're unable to, Lemanas Chabalelos, and that's the Emunah Peshuta that we have to have, Balelos, during the times of uncertainty. And so I give everyone the bracha that we should always be able to sing Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, both in times of clear opaqueness and in times of things of circumstances that might be beyond our understanding. We should be able to have the emuna to understand, just like Yehoshua did, that just like the moon, that it will reset itself and good times will follow. I wish everyone bracha v'hatzlacha this week. This is Mordechai Plotker in Elizabeth, New Jersey, and I hope you have a very successful week. All the very best.